Welcome to the Isolationist Podcast. You're back. Maybe you're a new listener. Either way, I don't care. I'm a guy. A guy that got burnt out on doing comedy and being in New York City. And I ran away to the mountains of Vermont. You know how everyone else has dreams of like, oh, I'm just going to make my own food and build my own house and all that stuff. All those dreams you guys have, I did it. Did it because I'm not a wuss. That's the entire premise of this podcast. It's basically my slow descent into madness. Because I talk to maybe 10 people a month, if that. And it's usually for very short periods of time. I just had an amazing interaction with the police officer. Just happened. It was great. He pulled me over because this guy has an eagle. I was smoking my pipe that I hand whittled. I was smoking my pipe and he saw it and he pulled me over and he thought that it was pot, so he asked to see my pipe. He saw it was just a hand whittled pipe with some pipe tobacco in it that I like to smoke while I'm pondering. If I'm not doing a podcast and I'm thinking about my podcast, that's what I do. I smoke a pipe and ponder what I want to talk about on it. So he saw that, but the thing was I had my gun on me, so I said, sir, when he pulled me over, I was like, sir, I have my gun on me, it's on my right hip, and he was like, alright, you can take it out and hand it to me, and I was like, no, I am more, I'm more comfortable with, keeping my hands where you can see them, getting out of the car, letting you take it, and hold it in your car until the end of our interaction. He was like, yeah, that makes sense, that's good. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm from New Jersey, where if I had said that to a New Jersey cop, he would have pulled me out of the car and curb stomped me. Like, I would have been a dead man right then and there. But I live in Vermont, where a lot of people carry guns at all times. So this guy pulls me out and he goes, hands on the hood of the car. I gotta stop. And I was like, all right. He's like, where's your holster? I said, it's a concealed carry. You gotta pull it out. There's a little lever. There's a little pull. You pull it up and it falls right out into your hand. So he's like, alright, I'm gonna do that. But he did that and he took that, my gun, and he just put it on the trunk of my car. Normally they take it back in. And he's like, oh, alright. And he was talking to me about my handgun while I was still, hands on the hood of my car, and then he talked to me, figured out it wasn't pot, and then when he went to, I'm there with my hands on the hood of my car still, and he goes and he puts my gun back in my holster for me, and then he reaches around, and he just gently pulls my dick out, and he just starts jerking me off, and I was like, oh, this is really nice, like, he knows, like, he can tell I talk about how I had a stressful day and everything, and he just, he just starts jerking me off, and then, after I come, he's like, all right, are you done? And I'm like, no, I'm a little unsatisfied, I'm a little bit more dominant, so, I still had a hard-on afterwards, because I'm pretty good at sex, and, so I put him on the trunk of my car, and I fucked him, with my gun first. My gun was in his asshole, and then I stuck my dick in there, too. The cop had a really, really loose asshole. So I fucked him, with my dick and my gun, at once, and then I said, hey, one of these things has fired off inside you, take a guess which one, and then I pulled my pants up, and, I took the warning ticket, got back in my car, and then I turned around, and, he drove next to me up the highway, and he blew me a kiss, So I took my handgun out, and I shot at his tires, and I flipped him over, and just kept driving. So yeah, like, great interaction with a police officer, right? I didn't get my ass kicked, I fucking slung some yogurt out on the highway. Normally truckers have to pay for shit like that, and then there was a sweet car that got flipped at the end of it. So, I want to talk about, a friend of mine's ex-girlfriend, she's just out of the blue friended me. She's married, she has two kids, she's awesome, and we've been catching up recently, and it's weird. There is something that goes on with people's memories. Like, I found I have a talent for long-term memory. Short-term memory, none whatsoever. But she started talking to me about, like, now, and I didn't really care. Like, I don't really care what's going on now. That's not why we're having this conversation. You and I are having this conversation to dwell on the past. That's the foundation of this social interaction. So that's what's expected, you know? But I found that her memory, way off. She remembers me in situations that I know I wasn't in, because it was, you know, her boyfriend and I weren't friends at the time that she was bringing up, and she had to ask me, like, oh, were you there for that? And I'm like, no, but I could bring up the fact that her mom was a phlebotomist, had adult braces, I can bring up that she was my manager at ShopRite. I can bring up every time she stole around me. I can bring up all this stuff about her. But she can't remember much about me from that time. Now, granted, she's only, like, I don't know, 2 years older than me. And I found I have this amazing gift for long-term memory, which is really scary to me. Because I'll ask people about these, you know, really in-depth situations that we went through, and people will look at me shocked that I remember that stuff. Because this is, I've been in this situation where I bring up nostalgia and all this stuff. Like, you know, when people friend me, or if I run into people, I don't run into people from my hometown anymore since I moved, which is wonderful. But when I was in New York, you know, I'd be walking up and down the street and I'd run into them every now and again. It would be a weird situation, but I'd just be like, yo! Huh! Diana, I remember you. Still playing that stupid ditzy thing? Or no? And I'd just be able to recall all these facts about them, and they'd be like, oh, what is your name again? Because I remember your face, but not your name. And maybe it's one of those things where it's like, I literally wasn't important to anyone ever. Which is awesome and freeing, but also terrible at the same time. But I'm trying to understand, because people have false memories too. So this sent me down a spiraling hole about the way memory works and how, you know, there's no 100% on it. But I, honest to God, like, this has been a problem in my life. Like, one time my brother and I, we ended up wasted with a couple of his friends. And I brought out the situation where, like, one of my friends, he's a few years older than me, and one of his friends was picking on someone, and one of my psychotic friends bashed his friend's head open with a rock, and it was the first time my brother and I had both seen Brain before, and I brought up, like, a bunch of other situations, like my parents locking us in the closets, and being locked upstairs, and just all this crazy stuff that we went through, and he looked at me, and he just said to me, he was like, if you ever bring any of that stuff up again, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. And because I did it in front of his friends, we had to get his friends so drunk that they blacked out so they wouldn't remember any of it either, because he didn't want any of them knowing any of that stuff about that. And he just looked at me and he was like, I didn't remember any of this stuff. Why would you remember it? And I'm just like, I don't know. Objectivity of who I am as a person now, I guess. Like, I need to know where, I think at a very young age I realized when I'm older I'm going to look back at this and need to understand who I am and the different situations that curated me into the human being that I am today. And I just started, like, asking other people what they can and can't remember, and it's amazing to me how little people pay attention to their past and how little people actually know about their own memories. So I'll do this thing where if I'm in a moment that I recognize is important, I will say in my brain, like, 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 times. And it's usually when I'm really pretty baked at this point, and I'll be seeing stuff more vivid and clearly for what it actually is. like that time I watched my dog scavenging the bone 2 podcasts ago. But I'll say it in my head a couple times, and that'll sync, and I'll sync it up with an image. Because from an image, you can build behind it and in front of it. Like, if you have an image of something in your head that, let's say, you know, I did this the other night. The other night, my girlfriend and I were just playing the Allman Brothers, and we were playing with our 2 dogs, and I just thought, like, this is a really important moment. For some reason in my head, I get these, like, I want to remember this moment forever. This is, like, a really good moment. This is a moment that'll get me through stuff, you know? When things are tough, I guess. So I assigned an image to it. There's a soundtrack going, so I'll always be able to associate that with an Allman Brothers song. And, you know, I have 3 characters in it. I have my 2 dogs and my girlfriend. And then I'll remember a couple different details about the situation, and I'll assign, like, 1 or 2 or 3 things. And then you kind of, like, fold it up and you put it in your mental... I don't know if anyone else does this, but I'm trying to explain it to people. Like, everyone's got kind of, like, a happy place, right? So I don't have a happy place. I have a place that's just stockpiled with memories that I can go back to in, like, a filing cabinet, I guess. Or, like, a big open space with, like, a bunch of different TV screens playing shit all the time. Like, I can bring back stuff... just visually, and then, so, like, when I want to recall something, first I recall, like, the feeling I had. So I'll be like, if I'm feeling bad, and I'm like, I need to remember something good, I'll go back, and I'll just scan a bunch of stuff in my head that made me feel good, and then I'll bring up one thing, and then I'll go into that deeply, and I'll remember the image, and I'll just remember a couple key points that I can, like, that way, like, I won't remember every object, and I won't remember every person, but if I remember, like, 2 things about that situation, I can build what got me to that situation before and after for a little bit, and then from there, I can sort of start to remember stuff that happened after that memory, too. My friend's ex-girlfriend and I were talking about the time that I was Harry Potter, and so I had to do this because my parents threw away a lot of pictures of me when we went through a rough time, a rough part in our relationship. They dumped a lot of pictures of me, and what I felt like they were trying to erase my existence from their life. I don't know if that's true or not, but she and I were talking about a time that I played Harry Potter at ShopRite that I worked at, and I was like, oh, I remember that. That was 3 or 4 days I had to do that, and the first day was just me, and I talked about that. I was like, oh, I remember about how I convinced this lady that I was actually Daniel Radcliffe, and that they had paid me like a ton of money to sell DVDs in the store. And she was like 80 years old, and 5 days, like, I had signed autographs. But the thing is, like, when I signed autographs, I signed them like, ha ha, Harry Potter. And she came back later looking for Harry Potter to see if I was going to be there. And I put on like a really fake British accent, and other people were like, oh, are you actually British? And like, only one dude called me out on it. He was like, oh... And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm from Wales, because it was the only thing about England I knew. But, like, I still have a terrible English accent. I can't really do it. Nah, it always turns into more Scottish or slightly more Irish, depending on the area of Ireland you're in or what your mom and dad are like. Hold on, let me see if I can do it. It's kind of a cockney. Yeah, I can't fucking do it, and it's terrible, and it gives everyone douche chills. But at that point, like, I guess I could do it a little bit better. But I was doing that. One dude called me out on my bullshit, but, like, I remembered all of those things because that was it. I remembered looking at that woman and me signing this piece of paper. She had just bought, you know, a piece of paper, and she asked me to sign it, like, to her grandkids' names. And she was like, hey, the one, he really likes the internet. and maybe you could write something about that, and then you could write, and then his name is, I forget what his name was, but I remember he liked the internet. And then there was, like, you know, all these different ones, and I can go into detail. It was one of those small, spiral-bound notebooks that you never see anymore, that was on top, so it was like a note, so it was a tiny, maybe, 8-inch long by 2-inch wide, thing that I was signing. I was signing in Sharpie, which made everything even worse. Like, I can go in depth about these experiences, and that one I remembered I felt really terrible about it after I did it, but I also felt that it was really funny and bad to do, and that was one of the moments where I started to correlate in my life where, like, funny things are oftentimes things that society tells you not to do, you know? So then, from there, I could remember, like, she was showing me all these pictures, and then I was like, oh, yeah, and, like, the third and fourth days, like, there were a couple other, like, huge nerds who worked there who all wanted to dress up like other characters, but none of them really looked like the character but me. But I sat around selling DVDs of Harry Potter for 3 or 4 days for, it was $200, 3 free lunches, because I was already working at ShopRite. But I digress on that, I guess. I was going way too into the different things that I remembered. Hold on, let me make sure my phone's not dead. Okay, it's not dead. Because that happened to me twice now. My phone has died twice now while I'm recording this. And it's terrible. This set me off in this, like, really, really sort of deep conquest of trying to find other people in different situations. So, like, you know, previously I've sort of gone down this rabbit hole and asked people if they remember stuff about themselves. I asked my one friend about a time that... He was trying to get back into skateboarding, and it took him over 100 times to do a kickflip. And he was like, no, that never happened, but there was one other person there, and that person remembered it happening. And that's insane to me. The two people who are there can remember a situation, but that person who is going through it can't. And it makes me... Like, I guess, and then I was listening to someone else talk about memory and how subjective it is and how they could have sworn that, you know, this and this and that happened, but, like, when you look it up, that didn't happen. So it's this weird thing to me that I can remember all the stuff that actually happened. Like, I can remember crazy stuff, but there are people who can't. So I went on this, like, whole... thing to try and find a moment that I couldn't remember, and I finally found one, and it freaked me out. My buddy Lou Falcio, probably shouldn't give his name out on the podcast, Lou Fettuccini, he has a picture of me sprawled out and shoeless with my jeans pulled up, hanging off a bridge, and I can't remember for the life of me that moment. So I kept going back. I was like, all right, is there anything else? Because he told me, what can I work off of? I was like, Easton, Pennsylvania. I was like, so it's probably a night that we went to this place called Pearly Baker's and got shit tanked. And I'm trying to, and I'm like, nope, that can't be it because it's a daytime picture. And I keep pulling, I pulled everything I could out of it, and I can't figure it out. So maybe all memory is kind of fucked up. Like, do people really dwell on their memories the way that I do? Maybe I'm just petty. Maybe I'm extremely petty. And I remember shit that drives me nuts. Like she brought up hilarious stuff I didn't shop right when I was trying to get fired. Like, puking on customers. I could do an entire podcast just about the shit that we did while we were all, like, you know, teens working in ShopRite. so many douchey moments. And none of us can figure out how or why we stayed unemployed. Because I worked there for 5 years. But it sends me down this hole of trying to figure out, like, can I trust anyone else's memories? Like, think about that. Like, you know... feelings, you know your memories and you're 99% sure that they are real. Like, you can recall stuff. Think about something right now traumatizing that happened before you were the age of 5. Like, give it search criteria. I just want to see if anyone else who does this can remember something. Like, what? Google and these, like, the search things are modeled after how you can actually search stuff in your own brain. So, I'm going to give someone, like, I'll give you guys something that I do. So, I tried to remember something when I was in third grade that was horrific to me. I was like, can I bring up something that really fucked with me in third grade? So in third grade, I was like, okay, where do I start? You start by going, okay, where did I spend most of my time in third grade? So that was in school. So that gives the most potential of horrible things that could have happened to you. So that narrows it down. So the rest of my life, when I was in third grade, I don't have to think about it all. Bam. All right, that's gone. So I focus on this. So you try and recall other things, like, who was your teacher in third grade? She's an authority figure. She's an adult. Adults fuck up, and they do stuff that's horrifying to you. So who was my main teacher? And it was, in third grade, it was Miss Steinmetz. Miss Steinmetz had curly hair. She was Jewish. She was the first person that was Jewish that was really, that I got to know. She was really mean to everyone. No one liked her. She was really tough on going, letting people go to the bathroom. I constantly went to the bathroom, because I had ADHD and always needed a reason to get up and move around. So, like, you start remembering other facets, and you build what your life was like then. You know, and this is how you remember something. So, all right, Miss Steinmetz, I can't remember anything specific that she really fucked me up with. But in third grade, who was I hanging out with? Third grade. Second grade was Derek Brickey. Third grade, there was this kid called Willie. And there was this blonde kid that I can't remember. Okay, what was it like with them? What was my classroom like? So for Miss Steinmetz, I get Miss Steinmetz's classroom, I can't remember. But I can remember these two kids in it. Or maybe, no, hold on. Those two kids, I was in with Miss Myers. In second grade. Because kindergarten was Miss Genova, where this kid Paul did fucked up stuff. So you work stuff through like this, and you just start to figure out, okay, so Miss Steinmetz's class, I try and remember the layout of her room. And, alright, I can't remember the layout of her room, but I can remember, yeah, it was Miss Steinmetz, third grade. I remember what she looked like. Oh, okay, I remember this. No, David Choi was fourth grade. Third grade is a tough one. Third grade was this kid, Willie, who had a rat tail. He was Native American and black. Curly hair, but loose curly. I remember everyone said he was like an 80-year-old man. He was missing two front teeth. He kind of had wrinkles, even at a young age, which really weirded me out. But everyone used to say Free Willy to him all the time. And we were in gym class, so Miss Steinmetz isn't even there. Who was my gym teacher in second grade? I think it was a woman. Blonde. Can't remember much more than her about her than that. Woman, yeah. Possibly a lesbian now that I look back older. But we used to have to run laps around the gym, yeah, at that age. And after you ran 5, you got to sit down. Everyone had a line, and it was 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I was in the 5th one, and the 4th row was Willie. He sat next to me, number like 5 or 6 in the line, towards the back, because we didn't want attention on us. Willie and I were slow runners, and we used to have to run around. So after we did 5 or 6 laps, everyone else was done. And every time Willie would run past people, they would scream, Free Willie! And then one day, after like a month of this straight, Willie started crying really, really badly. And I got up and yelled at everyone, and everyone laughed at me. And then I had to go back to class, and Willie was like really appreciative. But then like a few months after that, Willie got transferred to a different class because of the Free Willie thing, and I think his parents moved. Holy shit. There you go, and that's how you remember something. You just, like, you try and build a timeline and be objective about something. So, like, I thought I could remember Miss Steinmetz's class. I can't, because there's three different rooms that I had remembered. I remember that there was one with cubby holes in the back, and then there was, like, you know, on the left, there's lights in front of me, and on the left backhand part of the wall, there were, like, blocks that we could play with that this kid Paul had pushed on me one time, and I got pretty hurt. So I realized was kindergarten, but I realized that my spatial awareness for this specific time in my life isn't that good. So, like, if I want to go back to someone that I've just talked to, I go back and I remember who they were friends with, and then, I don't know, am I crazy? Am I explaining to you what autism is like? But I don't get how other people don't do this or can't do this. Like, I hope everyone right now who's listening, you know, leave a comment wherever the hell you can. No, go on Twitter, at Brett Foster, and try, tell me a memory that you have, and this is the parameters, something that made you really, really happy, with a family member that's unexpected, so like an uncle or aunt, someone that you weren't especially close with, when you were, and I'll do this easy, 11 or 12. And wherever you can comment, Twitter, I'm at Brett Foster, Facebook, it's the Brett Foster fan page, Gab, it's Brett, I'm Brett Foster everywhere, ask.fm, anyone else remember doing that? Ask.fm, LiveJournal, Dead Journal, MySpace, those days, oof. I wish you could go back and find Live Journal entries. I was such a fucking loser. I can remember Live Journal entries. I can remember once, okay, I'm not going to do that. But I want people to comment, tell me something, see if you can remember something like that. It's a fun little interactive thing. So it's weird to me that other people, so then I just wonder if memory is completely subjective. So other people remember me in situations that I know I wasn't in, and I can prove that I wasn't in, with other people. But maybe it's my suggestion that I wasn't in it that people are siding with? Huh. I don't know. But so it makes me depressed, kind of, to think about that, that memory is subjective, and maybe we're all in a simulation, and none of that actually happened or existed. But I hold deep down in my psyche and in my heart, I can remember feeling stuff like grass between my toes, and I can remember being like, oh, that was a really bad day, or that was a really good day. I can remember other kids laughing at me, and how what that did to me. I can remember all this crazy shit. I can remember a joke that a kid that I wasn't even friends with on a bus made, after everyone made fun of me because I didn't know who Jennifer Love Hewitt was. Because one of the kids had brought in a magazine with Jennifer Love Hewitt, and in the top right-hand corner it said Love Hewitt, so I said a common name. It was probably like Melissa Love Stewart or something like that, I said. What if memory isn't real then? So what is memory then? What is it that makes it so that I can do that and other people can't? What makes it so that other people can remember stuff even better than I can? Because what I can remember is only long-term. Short-term memory, I have little to no short-term memory. I think it's after I need, like, I can bring up stuff 6 to 8 months ago, I guess. But I can't remember what I had, like, 3 days ago for dinner. I can remember the past 2 days what I had for dinner, but I can't remember 3 days ago. I can't remember specific dates. I can't remember names. I can remember faces and imprints and pictures, but I can't remember names. So if I can't remember names, that makes me question whether, you know, memory at all is real. Like, think about that. Can you remember something so much that you can feel yourself being there again? Can you close your eyes and put yourself back into that situation in a, like, first-person viewpoint. Because that, if I can't do that, then I don't know that the memory... I don't consider the memory real if I can't put myself back into a first-person perspective and bring up at least, like, you know, squares and circles and the geometric layout of that memory. But there are people that can remember short-term stuff way better than I can. Way better than I can. So, like, I'll forget that I said something or someone texted me 2 days ago and I didn't reply. And, like, you know, 2 months down the road, I'll be like, or to be honest, like 4 months down the road, I'll scroll down my messages and be like, oh shit, I forgot to respond to this person. So what the fuck then is short-term memory? And does that mean that my short-term memory, the world doesn't actually exist for me because I have no way to prove in my own head what was and wasn't there until it hits the six-month mark? And how is it? Is it just mean that my brain is processing it? And then all of a sudden in 6 months I have good memory of it? If I can't remember it short-term, the entire idea of memory is a mind fuck in itself, isn't it? Huh. Like, I'm okay with a little silence, so take like a minute to try and process that while I do something stupid. Right. I guess next week I will talk about... I got on the social media site Gab that's supposedly for leaning right Nazis and everything. And it is a weird place. It's definitely one of the weirdest social media sites I've ever explored. And hopefully you can look forward to, next week on the podcast, hopefully. So there's something called Pizzagate going on. I don't really know what it is. It's something about a fake story that was put out, something about John Podesta, John Podesta being a pedophile, and someone went in and, like, went into this place called Ping Pong Pizza, and they shot the ceiling up or something. Well, I found the author of the article that made that guy do it, and so she is going to come on, hopefully, and she's just got to get approval from her editor, but she's hopefully going to come on and talk about writing that news story, and I don't know if she thinks it's fake or not, but I'm going to explore that, because my idea, she's writing in hieroglyphs. But I guess we did it again, guys. That one was a simple and easy one, huh? I think that was one of the better ones I had. Except for the fact that I ramble on about memories for forever. Just zone out about the actual memories. And I think the important thing to take away from that is memory is this weirdly subjective mindfuck that makes you question whether reality and existence is real or not. And I taught you, I guess, a little bit how to start filing stuff for later. So start doing it now and see if in like 6 to 8 months you can do stuff. All right, we did it. So ends the rants of a crazy man.